Let's get started on another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word. We are in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 5, as we begin today. And I hope you've got your little notepad or note card nearby where you can jot down any references that you think might be helpful for yourself or someone you know to memorize, because that's the point of these proverbs. They are short and memorizable to help us carry them into life's myriad situations so that we will make good, godly, wise choices. And we will also have our thinking process governed by godly things. So Proverbs 28:5 says, "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek he who is understand it completely." Now this is plugged into the idea that justice, true justice, is supposed to be based upon God's morality, upon God's way of doing things. So evil people who reject God's authority are not going to have a true understanding of justice. Only those who are plugged in with God, who have an intimate relationship with Him and His Word. And so let's make sure we are people of true justice. Verse 6, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways." And of course, some people put great value in money and things. And so the richer you are, apparently the better you are, is the way some people would think about it. But from God's perspective, it's not what the outside shows, it's what's on the inside that governs who you are. So integrity is proper thinking in alignment with God's thinking. And that proper thinking leads to proper actions. So even if you are poor, sometimes because you make godly choices and because of that are not valued in society, even if you are poor, but you are righteous, you're the better person. Verse number 7. "The one who keeps the law is a son of understanding," or with understanding, "but a companion of gluttons shames his father." Solomon was the one that was writing these proverbs down. This is a section where the men of King Hezekiah are searching out and adding more of these Solomonic proverbs. And Solomon wrote these when his son, particularly his oldest son, was probably a teenager, maybe a young teen, maybe preteen, and trying to help him understand it's important to live by God's standard, by God's covenant. Now, the irony of that is that when Solomon got older, he himself abandoned the covenant. And because of that, his son Rehoboam followed in his father's footsteps. He did as he saw his father do in his later life, not as his father taught him in his younger life. But at this time that he's writing these things down, and as a pattern for parents today, it makes a parent happy to see their son or daughter keeping God's word. But it shames them. It embarrasses them when they see their kids making poor companion choices. In this case, it was running around with people that were only interested in stuffing things in their face or allowing their bodies free rein with all their desires. That's really the concept of a glutton. So, young people, please make your parents proud in the Lord, not shamed. Verse 8, "Whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor." It was against the law in Israel to hit people with interest rates whenever they owed you money. You were supposed to try to help them out of the financial pit they'd fallen into, not make the pit deeper. And so if you were found to be charging interest and maybe inflating costs, you would be penalized. You would be fined. And that money would then end up in the pockets of those that would be more generous and considerate to the poor people. Verse 9. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. I mentioned a while ago, it's ironic that Solomon would write some of these really pointed, good proverbs about proper behavior. Because later in his life, what does he do? He turns his back on God. He chases after the gods and goddesses of his multitude of pagan wives and quits doing God's work and God's will. And because of that, his prayers became an abomination. God was not interested in granting him any of his requests later, with the exception of one thing. If he'd repented and asked for forgiveness, God would have granted that request. Verse 10. Whoever misleads the upright into an evil way will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will have a goodly inheritance. From time to time, we see these proverbs that we would apply a foreign word to, karma. The idea of what goes around comes around. What you do to others is going to come back on you. And so when this warning is given, it is if you go out there and intentionally waylay, mislead good people, that's going to come back on you. On the other hand, if you live the blameless life, the righteous life, then that's going to lead to good things in the future for you. It might not be the future here on earth. It might be the eternal inheritance in God's presence. Verse 11. A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out. Now, because of the contrast here, we know that the rich man in this context is an unrighteous rich man. And he's only thinking about himself, thinks he is the center of everything. Well, a poor man who understands reality is going to do better than that rich man in his interaction with God. Verse 12. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. This is a principle that applies to kind of the community, the culture as a whole in a country. When righteous people are kind of in charge and they do things in accordance with God's will, in God's way, then that's good because things will be done fairly. But when wicked people push themselves into those places of authority, they're not going to have the same standard. And people get scared by that. They realize that there are no rules and regulations that can keep evil people from taking stuff. So it's a prayer that we ought to be offering on behalf of our own culture, that only those who truly belong to God should get into the leadership positions in government. Verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. There is a principle that was taken out of scriptural thinking that shows up in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and all the other anonymous groups that use these same principles. And that is, you have to first acknowledge that you have a problem before you can start pursuing the solution. And so here's the principle right here, is as long as you try to hide your sin, hide the fact that you have screwed your life up, and you refuse to acknowledge that you're the problem, then there is no resolution. we have to confess, that is, say the same thing as God is saying about us, and we have to repent, which means we want to change the way we think. And then after that, through confession and repentance, we'll start changing the way we act. And that's where the mercy comes. Verse 14, blessed is the one who fears he who is always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So fearing the Lord, doing things his way, that's going to bring true blessing. Making your heart hard, that is, deciding you will do it your own way. You don't need any input from God or God's people or God's word. You're going to continue down that broad way that leads to destruction, and that's a calamity. Verse 15, like a roaring lion or a charging bear. And of course, none of us would like to meet a roaring lion without bars between us and it. And none of us would like to be on the receiving end of a charging bear. A wicked ruler over a poor people is like that. If you've got a society that's not all that prosperous, the last thing you need is a ruler that comes in looking about how to chew up all the subjects of that country and just use them as resources. It will take a country down real fast. And we have examples of that all over the world right now. Verse 16, a ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. So the lacking understanding here is a lacking of an understanding of God's word, God's way. That sort of ruler, that sort of leader is going to do things to his people. Things just to line his own pocket, promote his own power. And that's never good for a country. But if a ruler has forsworn trying to line his own pockets, has taken a stance against trying to only look out for himself or herself, that ruler is going to be much more likely blessed by God and spend longer time in charge. Verse 17, if one is burdened with the blood of another, he will be a fugitive until death. Let no one help him. Two things probably in mind here. Number one would be a murderer who has fled, has not been detained and charged, and therefore is not facing punishment. Or we could have someone who accidentally killed somebody else and has fled, or maybe entered the system that the Jewish people had of the fugitive cities. Those sorts of folks are going to carry the guilt of their action for the rest of their lives. And they'll always be looking over their shoulders, wondering whether or not they're about to be apprehended and brought to justice, or if they might run across somebody whom they hurt by the death of that person. And so I think the intention is don't be guilty of killing somebody, whether on purpose or accidental. You need to be thoughtful and protective of life. Verse 18, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. So integrity is right thinking and right application of that thinking in the situations. And of course, God is going to deliver people with integrity out of this world system and into his eternity. But the wicked people, the ones without integrity, they are going to come to a sudden end. Sometimes it happens in this world, but definitely it will come to its negative fruition in the world that is yet to come. Verse 19. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. The encouragement of the book of Proverbs is, if you are physically capable of doing so, you ought to be out there working. You ought to be making sure that you pay for whatever it is you need in life and be able to take care of your family. Because otherwise, if you're just out there goofing around and expecting everybody else to support you, at some point the plug needs to be pulled and you need to bear the consequences of that choice not to take care of your own business. Verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Kind of still on the same topic of working here. A faithful man in this context is a person who is applying themselves. They're trustworthy. When they agree to do a job, you don't have to follow them around and force them to do it. They do it, and they're going to be blessed because of that. But those that are just looking for the shortcut, that is, some get-rich-quick scheme, maybe gambling as a means of just not having to work ever, that's going to bear negative fruit. Verse 21, to show partiality is not good, but for a piece of bread, a man will do wrong. Now, none of us are supposed to be partial in the sense that when we're making a decision about what's right and wrong and who's in the right and who's in the wrong, we should always, always give a true judgment. The person who was in the right needs to be rewarded and the person in the wrong needs to be punished. But we need to understand this. There are some people out there that are so hungry, are so needy, that they will sell themselves into wrongness in order to eat. And we need to try to keep people from getting into that dire situation. Verse 22, a stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. So stingy in the sense of always wanting more and to keep all that he has. And so he's always looking to increase his wealth. And sometimes he doesn't care how that happens. Well, that sort of bad attitude, ungodly attitude, is going to have consequences. And very often it is that he'll lose everything. And then, because he's probably stepped all over people on the way up, there will be no one willing to have mercy on him, except, of course, the merciful that belong to God. Verse number 23, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. The Proverbs has a lot to say about what I always refer to as smoozing. This idea of blowing smoke and pumping people up in order to take advantage of them, to try to get them to do what you want them to do. That type of flattery is not beneficial to that person. What some people need is a rebuke. They need to be told, you're doing this wrong. You need to correct your behavior. So that once they take that to heart and fix the problem, and we're talking about from God's standard here, they will be hopefully thankful to you that you cared enough about them over the long run that you didn't just simply tell them what they wanted to hear and schmooze them along a little bit. Verse 24. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, that's not a transgression, is a companion of a man who destroys. Some people, apparently, would think there's not a problem with stealing from mom and dad. Because after all, you're their kids. What's theirs is yours. It'll eventually come to you. And the proverb of Solomon says, no, when you do that, you're just a criminal. You are engaging in criminal behavior that is doing damage to those people made in the image and likeness of God. So treat your parents like fellow human beings and don't take stuff from them that you don't have permission to take. Verse 25, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in he who is will be enriched. So again, greedy people here, looking out for number one, and sometimes they stir that pot to get things going because then they think they can swoop in and take advantage of the chaos of the situation. But godly people don't do that. People who have their faith in the Lord, they do it the right thing all the time. And God will not forget about that. He will enrich them in ways beyond physical wealth. Verse 26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Remember that a biblical fool is not so much a description of intellect, it's a description of attitude. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That was David's definition of a fool. Somebody who rejects authority, who sees himself or herself as the one who determines what's right and wrong. Well, that's going to bring trouble. While the person who understands that they have a God to answer to, and human authorities they have to answer to as well, they're going to be under God's blessings. Verse 27, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. So we are to be aware of and sensitive to the needs of those who, through no fault of their own, have fallen on hard times. People who are incapable of supporting themselves. And if we think about those folks and have mercy upon those people, then we will receive the mercy and thoughtful provision from God. If we try to ignore it, you know, close our eyes to bad situations, then that's going to end up with us being part of the problem. Verse 28, when the wicked rise, people hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. And we saw this earlier, this tension in society between those that would want to lead according to God's standards against those who would lead based on their own standards. And so when wicked, self-centered people are in control and they're throwing their weight around, people try to get out of the way because they know that's going to end up in disaster. But once all that mess is gone, who is it that can come in and clean up the mess? Righteous people. People who want to do things by God's way. Chapter 29. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. We know the reality of this situation here. People who have been confronted repeatedly, been warned over and over again that what they're engaging in is dangerous misbehavior, that it's bad, and they've got to stop it. If they just keep being self-centered, keep stiffening their neck, eventually it's going to come to a head. It's going to come to a point where they're going to end up either in prison or they will end up dead. And that is not a resolution any of us would want for them. Verse 2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. And we've seen that idea presented several times now, that society is very much impacted on the morality of the leaders that they look to. In other prophetic books, we hear that the country is basically like its leaders, and its leaders are like the country. So if you've been griping about who's president or who's governor or your congressperson or your senator or your mayor, realize that they are a reflection of our society. We get the leaders we deserve. Verse number 3. He who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. And that proverb always makes me think about Jesus' story about the prodigal father, you know, the extravagant father. I know it's usually referred to as the prodigal son, but I think of the extravagant love of the father welcoming back his son that squandered his wealth. So the son that loves wisdom, the one that wants to do things God's way, that makes a father glad. But they still love the one that squanders the wealth, but they are disheartened by seeing them have to go through that. Verse 4, by justice a king builds up the land, but he who exacts gifts tears it down. Now the gifts here is a negative sort of gift. It's a bribe. So a king who rules in justice, who does things because it's the right thing to do, they're going to be beneficial to the land. But a king or a leader who's only thinking, how does this impact me? How does this promote me? That's going to rip everything apart. Verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Another passage about schmoozing, isn't it? This idea that when somebody starts coming up to you and starts saying all sorts of wonderful things to you and about you, and they're just overboard, immediately you start thinking, what does this person want? What are they up to? What are they planning on doing to me? And so that's the proverb here, warning that you need to keep your eye out for people like that, because they're basically spreading a net. They're setting a trap. They're planning on taking you captive and utilizing you for their own purposes. So don't be that type of person, and watch out for those type of people.